You do it by faith. God wants you blessed in your finances, but you're going to have to fight the devil to get it. It's not going to just happen by, oh, thank you, Lord, I have prosperity, and then go about your day. Forget about it. He said, ask, seek, and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open. Everyone who asks receives. But the way he told, there's a difference between just saying, God, I want it. Most people pray out of fear. God, give me this. God, I want it. That's not faith. Forget about it at that point. You're not going to receive from God. You need to pray with joy. Expect it to come to pass. You know, in Romans 15, verse 13, he said this. He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Joy and peace as you trust in Him. That word trust is faith. That's your gauges. You know, you get in your car and you see the temperature's, oh, we got better pull over. We got to get some cooling in here. The temperature's too high in here. And a gas gauge. You see the gas gauge? Oh, we better go stop at the gas station and get some gas in here. Well, I do want to tell you this, that the gauges to know if you're in an attitude of faith or not are joy and peace. If you're wondering on, oh God, I thank you that I have it, God. You're not in faith. Change your attitude. Believe God's word. You need to stop then and go all the way back over here and start meditating His word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need to get the word in you so you can even believe at that point. Same thing when it comes to finances. It does healing as it does peace. You can believe God for peace in your mind, in your emotions, joy, all these things can be developed. Do you want it? Do you want it?
Yeah.
Well, then go get it. He made it all available to you. Why? Just, you know, I'm just happy with me, my little house, just me and I. I'm okay. That's selfish. Why is it selfish? Because how are you going to give your neighbor $1,000 when they need to borrow it? You ain't got nothing to give. Think about that. How are you going to meet people's needs when you're broke? How are you going to get people saved when they all know that you sit around wondering, miserable all the time because you're broke? Oh man, you're telling your coworker, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through the week. Did you get paid yet? Man, I can't wait to get paid because I've got to have... They know you're broke when you got to be talking about getting your pay. You're so excited about your paycheck. Amen. You want to be that one that goes around buying all your coworkers coffee and telling them about Jesus. You want to be that one that goes, you got so much money, you go around buying those gift cards to Red Lobster or, you know, Outback or whatever they got sitting at the end of Pick and Save there. You go buy those gift cards and you go give them, here, I'm going to give you this. Why are you doing that? Because I love Jesus and I love you. Just give it to them and then walk away. Don't give them an option. Don't ask them if they want a soda. What kind of soda do you want? Don't say, do you want a soda? Because they'll say no. You got to be smart. You got to have the wisdom of God. What kind of soda do you want? I don't want a soda. I'm either going to buy you a Coke or Mountain Dew. Which one do you want? I'm going to bring you back one of them. You might as well just choose it. Don't give them an option. Bless these people. You know, wouldn't it be nice to buy your neighbor's gas behind you? Groceries? You know, Michelle come home one day. She said, I bought the guy's groceries behind me. He didn't have money. I said, good for you. Buy people's groceries? How'd you like to be able to have money to do that instead of walk around broke? You know, in fact, some of you don't have enough money. You should start doing it now so you will have more money. What do you mean? That's going to increase my finances? Turn over to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 11. Let me show you one verse you should memorize. And this is a fact. And we've done this a few times. And then we'll end here. We've got a few things to pray for you. It's right after your book of Psalms there. Verse 24, he says this. There is that scattereth, or one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Is that what it says? That's what it means. Some people, God's dealing with you to step out by faith and start giving to the poor, start giving more into the offering, start give to people around you. He's dealing with you to maybe give your car away or maybe your house away or give something away. I don't know. That's for you to figure out what He's telling you to do. But some of you, God has told you to do some things by His Spirit, and you're disobeying Him, and you're wondering why your finances keep getting lowered and lowered and lower. Well, I was tithing, I was giving. Maybe God told you to give double, but you think, well, I'll just give this $100 a week instead of the $200 He told me. But if God has been dealing with you to give something to someone, you need to do that. You know, Michelle dealt with, you know, God dealt with Michelle and I one time. We gave a brand new car away. You did that? You better believe we did it because God told us to. And the person got great use out of the car, used it for ministry. And we're blessed. We have everything we need. Why? Because I don't withhold unduly. I give stuff away. We give it away. And eventually I'm going to have more than one house. I'm going to give one of them away. I'm going to do that. It's going to happen. It will come to pass. Why? Because I want to. Because I want to get somebody born again. Give it to the worst sinner in town and say, here, Jesus loves you, or something like that. You know, whatever the Lord leads. He says this, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. Ever, you know where the root word of prosperity is? That's prosper. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. How do you refresh others? Will you buy your neighbor's groceries behind you? Amen? It doesn't have to just be in the offering plate. You can do all sorts of stuff. In fact, you should be. Jesus said, He said, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father's pleased to give you the kingdom. He said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He said, provide treasures for yourself in heaven that does not wear out, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thief does not break in and steal. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Jesus, and that's a chapter He talked all about worry. What Jesus is trying to say, you're not limited to the natural, but most believers are so carnal that they can't see past their checkbooks what it says. But if they would just step up by faith and say, God, I don't have anything to give here, barely. I'm broke. I'm fed up with this, but Your Word says right here, tell them what His Word says. Your Word says right here that I probably brought myself into this by withholding things. But you say here that if a man gives freely, he'll gain even more. So here you go. How much do you want me to give? And He says, give your last $10. Where do you want me to give it? Give it to that missionary over there. Give it to the poor. Give your last $10. You think God doesn't do that? He's told me to do that multiple times. Give it away. You know, it's just like a preacher. Give it all away, He says. Well, I tell you to give it to the poor. It's like Jesus did. He told the rich young ruler, He said, sell your possessions. He said, give it all away, He said. And don't give it to me. I can't be bought. Just give it to the poor. You see? Some of you need to start giving more. I encourage you to ask God what He's telling. And, you know, what was that, Lord? You want me to give 20% instead of 10%? Is that what you want, Lord? I didn't hear you correctly. I think I heard a tithe is enough. That's what most people do. In fact, you know, some people got a spirit of stinginess. Let me tell you something. You know, I know how much people give. And I see some people that are broke give more than people that have full-time jobs and barely give anything. And I think that's just the spirit of stinginess. It's got to be. How can you have someone that's completely broke, give $100 in the offering, you got other people, they won't give nothing in the offering. How can that be? How is that? It's called spirit of stinginess. That's really what it roots down. It's greed. That's what it is. It's greed in the heart. We don't want to be that way. Give freely. Why do we want to give freely? So we can have more. Why will we have more? Well, there's a multiplication process that happens in the Spirit. God wants you prosperous. God wants you successful. But you need to abide by His law, which is His Word. This is law right here. We're not under the law. Forget about it. God's word is law. James said in the New Testament, the perfect law that gives freedom. We are under law, God's law. Paul said, I'm not under the law, but I'm under Christ's law, which is even more strict. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone looks at him lustfully. He said, you heard eye for eye, cheek, tooth for tooth. He said, but I tell you, anyone who even says raka, or even says, you fool, to your brothers in the danger of fire or hell. The New Testament's got more strict rules. Well, I don't know about this. It does. These are commandments. Amen. We need to obey God. Why are you telling all this? You trying to take up a big offering? No, I want to see you successful because some of you are struggling financially. Do you want to struggle financially or do you want to have prosperity? You want prosperity, right? Okay, so you got to act on His laws. But at the same time, you also got to watch your words. Some of you give and give and give and give, and it doesn't work because you, in your heart, you say it's not working. It's not going to work. You know, he talked about that when he talked about giving the tithe in Malachi. He said it doesn't work for you because your words are stout against me. So even though they were doing the tithing, they were giving, but because they couldn't control the tongue. You know, there were 12 different plagues that came on Israel. 11 of those plagues were a result of misuse of the tongue. 11 of them. Amen. Well, someday we're going to get through Revelation. I get caught in these exhortations. God apparently doesn't want to see some of you struggling financially anymore. He wants you to be prosperous and successful. He wants you to be a light to the world. He wants you to be a testimony. He wants your finances to be a testimony. He wants the health in your body to be a testimony. He wants your whole life to be a walking testimony for Him. But in order for it to be a testimony, it takes obedience. We read about that in Deuteronomy 28. It all comes back to one word, obedience. He said, when you fully obey, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'm the head and not the tail. You can confess it all you want, but until you're fully obedient, it's not going to work for you. He said, I want you to lend to many nations and not borrow. Lend. Imagine what it'd be like to lend. You know, Jesus said, lend without expecting repayment. You'd be able to do that. We've done that. I've had people say, oh, I need $300. Can you borrow me $300? And then you never hear from them again. You say, you know what? If they need it that bad, let them have it. Wouldn't it be nice to not get a bad attitude because you've got enough money to be able to do that? That's nice. It feels good. Be like, yeah, whatever. $300, if they need that bad, I just pray that it goes to good use then. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God wants you to have nice things. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to have material things. He wants you to have blessings. He doesn't want them to have you, though. And if we would obey Him and start preaching the gospel and start praying and be fully obedient, we'd be so caught up in bringing His kingdom, advancing His kingdom, that He would be advancing yours. You know, you'd be pouring out the front door, He'd be pouring it in the back door. You'd be sneaking it up on you, wouldn't even know it. Amen? You know, He said, who's ever given to God that God should repay him? You know, you're not earning nothing when you give. But you are operating in the laws of prosperity. It's an action of faith. I give because I want to see someone else saved. I give because I want to help people. And it's the heart condition, the faith released to that heart condition that brings the prosperity to pass. But the problem is when you teach people this, a lot of people get in their minds, well, I'm going to give and get, give and get, give and get. Forget about it then. You're selfish. You're looking for advancing your kingdom. You should give with the right heart motive. You need to go back and read your Bible till you repent and get born again at that point. If you're that caught up in yourself, forget about it. We don't want to be selfish, do we? No, we want to obey God. We want to be selfless. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. The greatest among you will be your servant, He said. How can I serve? Well, you can pray. You can fast. You can give. You can witness to people. You can do good deeds. Amen. Help the old lady across the street. Amen. Go kiss little babies or something. Do something. Start somewhere until you get it in your heart where you're confident enough to do something for someone. Let's get our eyes off of ourselves. That's where the prosperity comes from. Why? Because giving is a selfless act. Did you know that? If you're giving with yourself on your mind, again, you're in an error. You should be giving as a selfless act. And that's changing your heart. That is actually developing something in your heart. What? A servant's heart. And what is a servant's heart? A servant's heart is the only thing that will protect you against the love of money and greed is a servant's heart. Then God doesn't mind you having the prosperity. Why? Because He knows you're going to use it for other people's good. Other people's good. God wants you to be successful, but we need to serve. Serve. He said we need to serve. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. Instead of man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. if it is contributing to the needs of others, he that giveth, he says, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. You know, he said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus wants you to have a more abundant life. But if we don't obey God, it allows the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. What are you doing? I'm waiting. Because God wants to do something. I'm going really long. I'm waiting for something to happen. There's been some of you that have been having a lot of problems in your finances. There have been some of you that have been struggling for years, and you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't see past what your bank account says. But God's anointing breaks the yoke. There's going to be some impartations of grace in your heart to break bondages and strongholds off your soul that's going to enable you to take the one little step. He's just going to pull you one step further in. It's not some kind of miracle in your finances, but it's something that's going to change something in you and break that yoke of poverty and bondage off your life so you can just be one step closer to where you want to be, okay? I'm not trying to tell you like some of these prophets that overnight you're going to be a millionaire. Forget these guys are foolish. They're sending people to hell talking like that because all the people, none of them receives it. And then they say, well, forget this Christianity thing. Don't ever tell people that talk like that are foolish. Come on up here. I want to pray for you. Is anything too hard for me, says the Lord? For surely you can stand on my word and know that I will bring it to pass. For it is impossible for me to lie. And I've given you a full inheritance and the rights as sons to tap into that inheritance. So be bold in your faith. Be confident and know that my word will not return void. My word will accomplish that which I please to propose. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For there's great power to break yokes of bondage. There's great power to heal the sick. There's great power to heal, to raise the dead. There's great power to set the captives free. And it's all found in my word by my spirit. Step out by faith and win your neighbor. Step out by faith and know that I will confirm my word with the signs that follow it. Yes, for I've equipped you with my anointing by the baptism of my Holy Spirit. And through that Spirit, all the equipment you need to tap into resides within. So be bold and know that you cannot fail. Be bold and know that you will prevail. Be bold and know that I've set you free from sin. Know that I've borne your failure and made you and gave you the ability to win. So go forth in my spirit, my anointing, and my glory. Be bold in my spirit. Be bold, for there's a great blessing that I have for you at the end of this road, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord. You're a mighty God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, if you could just see yourselves the way I see you. I see everyone in this room just absolutely successful. If you will just start to act and make today be the day that you're going to put twice as much effort into God as you do right now, you will look back a year from now and you'll say it was all worth it. The whole struggle, the whole fight. There's any fight, instead of fighting against your emotions, instead of fighting against all the things the enemy is holding you in bondage with, fight against him with the word and act on the word. That's the fight you need to fight. He said, come near to God and he'll come near to you. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But first, before he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, he said, submit yourselves then to God. A lot of people are trying to resist the devil and he's not fleeing. It's because they're not fully submitted to God. And then he painted you a picture there. And right before that in chapter 4 of James, of that person who has one foot in the world. He called them adulterous people. Let go. He said, since then you've been raised to Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He said, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who's your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 1 through 4. And then he said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, sexual immorality. He said, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all things, such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He said, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. He said, clothe yourselves with compassion. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He said, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. He said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Wives, submit to your husbands. Anyone who does wrong and be paid for it is wrong. There's no favoritism. That's all. That's most of Colossians 3. Let's obey God. Let's tap into these blessings He's given us. He said, set your minds on things above. That's right. You set your minds on things above by your giving. That's part of it. Jesus talked all about, He went into intricate detail about it in Matthew chapter 6. Giving, fasting, and praying. He said, when you give. He didn't say if you give. He said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He said, when you pray. He said, and if you pray. Amen. Shut the TV off and spend that time in prayer. If you really want it, if you really want to be blessed, you will do what's necessary to be blessed. Because to say I want to be blessed but not to do it, that's, you're kidding yourself at this point. Let's obey God. Let's give Him our whole hearts. And before this rapture takes place, let's go up not in failure like the majority. Let's go up in victory.